WRKC is proud to present the fifth season of the IBS Award-nominated Adventures of Harry Flynn. The Adventures of Harry Flynn is written, performed, and directed by King's students. We now present our 43rd episode, The Lonely Dame.
It was an unseasonably warm winter day, and I was sitting down in my office with a bottle of bourbon and a book that Deborah had left on her desk. The book was The Big Sleep, by some Raymond Chandler guy. Pretty decent writing, but the guy didn't have the first idea what a detective's life is really like. For one thing, his character didn't have to deal with the fact that dames don't exactly run screaming for a guy who only brings in money when he's lucky on a case. Maybe I'm just not as charming as Philip Marlowe, but the only curvy little thing I've had on my desk recently was a bottle of wine from a grateful client.
It's just me, Mr. Flynn. No need to pretend to work.
I am working. It's important to keep up with how people expect PIs to act.
And my book is helping you with that?
It is, if just barely. But I don't see how he could possibly run a detective agency with all these women he's involved with.
Well, you find time to read my books and provide Glenn with 50% of their profit.
That's not the same. But honestly, whatever happened to loyalty? He flirts from one broad to the next without looking back for a second.
If you don't like it, you don't have to read it.
I was about to remind her that I was reading it for work when I was interrupted by a luckily timed phone ring. Unfortunately, Deborah just glanced at it before going on.
I'm sick and tired of hearing you complain about absolutely every minor inconvenience that comes around.
Deborah?
You drink and wine because you don't have work, but you just got a full-time job working with the police.
Deborah?
But I think...
Deb!
Shut it. I think you're really upset about Marla, and this is all just you trying to drown yourself in pretty miseries because you aren't man enough to admit it.
Deborah!
Thank you for calling Harry Flynn Detective Agency. This is Deborah speaking. Uh-huh. Yes, Mr. Pines. He is now technically an officer, but he still does cases on the side. No, he's not too busy. He was just telling me how he wants to solve another case. All right, here he is. Can you handle it from here, Mr. Flynn?
Yes. Thank you very much, Deborah. Hello?
Flynn? Clayton Pines. Let me tell you from the start, I've got a situation that has to be handled with delicacy. I need someone who can be subtle, detail-oriented, and most of all, discreet. Can you do that?
I've been known to be all of those things. Sometimes even at the same time.
Good. I don't discuss business with someone unless I can look them straight in the eye. Meet me at the bank at 3rd and Wallace in 20 minutes.
In the brief time that I was on the phone with Mr. Pines, Deborah had apparently written me a note and snuck out. When you're done reading the book, return it to my desk. Don't spill any booze on it. If you need to talk about Marla, call Spinelli. I'm not interested. Huh. Talk about loyalty. I made the drive over to 3rd and Wallace, parked next to the bank, and went inside to look for Mr. Pines. An older gentleman in a suit who looked as though he would fit the voice was seated waiting by the entrance. I approached him with confidence. Clayton? You called me to meet you here.
I'm sorry, you must have the wrong person.
Looks like I'm barking up the wrong tree, then.
What?
Well, Pines. Tree. Oh, wait, I never mentioned your last name.
You don't know my last name.
As I tried to explain how hilarious my joke would have been to the perplexed bystander, an older gentleman standing nearby took notice. I say gentleman because he had an air of money about him. A tall, well-built man, now moving towards retirement, but still fully aware of the sort of political power that his station comes with. He was dressed in a gray suit, old, but well kept together. Assuming this to be Clayton Pines, I wrapped up the explanation quickly. So if I had told you the right name, it would have been a fantastic dendrology joke.
Okay, I mean, I guess.
I turned to the suited man and tried it out again. Mr. Pines?
Yes, and you're Harry Flynn, I presume.
Glad to see I'm not barking up the wrong...
I heard you the first time. I was maybe 10 feet away from you.
Damn it. Next time, I'll plan my joke-making more carefully. Still, with the correct client now located, I jumped right into business. So you say you've got some trouble?
The trouble is my wife.
He took out his wallet and showed me a photograph of him standing next to a beautiful woman. Though she was absolutely radiant, there was something about the way she was standing that betrayed discomfort. I hear that more often than you know. Kidnapped? Robbed? Stalked?
Worse. I believe she's running around on me.
Mixed up priorities aside, it wasn't too surprising. An older man with a woman like that... Well, maybe she needed a bit on the side. All right. My procedure on this kind of case is simple. I'll just need you to write down as much of her schedule as you can, and I'll tailor. If she's running around, I'll figure out, and I'll bring you the facts. If not, my rate still applies.
It won't need to be that complicated. You see, she and I are taking a day-long joy cruise. I want you to come along, posing as another customer, and keep an eye on her.
A joy cruise, eh? Why do I get the feeling there's something more than that?
Good instinct and the willingness to act on it. There will be some games running, but all in international waters. Nothing strictly illegal.
Or at least nothing enforceable.
I see you're having doubts.
Look, Pines, I'm not sure if you heard, but I'm an officer of the law. I stand for what is good and honest and true in this country, and you won't convince me otherwise on some technicality. Gambling is a serious problem, and if the rich can just run off on joyrides any time they Ooh. That's a very large number. As I was decrying the injustice of wealth distribution in our country, Clayton had written down a number on a slip of paper and handed it to me. Apparently, he was feeling like redistributing some wealth.
You'll receive a check in that amount upon my receiving information proving that my wife is having an affair. Additionally, here are two tickets to put you on the ship with a date to avoid suspicion. See that you aren't late. The ship leaves at 9:30 sharp, and if you aren't on it, you won't get a sniff of that pay.
Clayton nodded to me and walked out of the bank, leaving me holding two tickets to a one-day gambling cruise. For a moment, I was left considering the moral ramifications on this. Sure, I could turn Clayton in, but if he wasn't going to be on American waters, there's not a whole lot the police could do. If I went, I also wouldn't strictly be breaking the law. Maybe I can donate some of it to charity. That's what I'll do. Half to charity. I stepped outside the bank and stepped into a payphone to make a quick call.
Hello?
Hey, Veronica, it's Harry.
Hi, Harry. I can tell by your voice, you know.
I've got something of a strange question for you. Are you available pretty much the entire day tomorrow?
For the whole day? What for?
A charity thing.
I wish I could, but my cousin is coming into town and I need to keep an eye on him. Make sure he doesn't get into too much trouble.
All right, that's fine. Say, maybe we can meet later tomorrow night?
Maybe. Give me a call when you're done with your charity thing.
Well, so much for the pleasant route. That left me with only a couple of possibilities. There was McMillan, but she had her professionalism to keep. Too young and full of hope to connect to dirty gambling. Spumosa would be happy to come along, I'm sure, but I'm not certain I could keep her from eating the dice. That left only one person I could call upon and know I could count on.
No, I won't do it.
Damn it, Deborah, I need you.
No, tomorrow's my day off. I'm not going to spend it pretending to be a detective with you.
You won't have to pretend. I'll be doing all the detective work.
All right, I don't want to hang around while you pretend to do detective work.
What's it going to take?
Time and a half and a paid day off the day after. That and you cover the tickets.
That's paying you more than double for a day of work.
Take it or leave it.
Just be on time. The next day, I put on my slightly patched-up suit and headed down to the dock to catch the cruise and get to business. I kept telling myself that this was strictly business as I stood tapping my foot waiting for Deborah. When she finally arrived, she was accompanied by none other than...
Hey, Robbie Toots!
Yes, I know. What the hell are you doing here?
Going to go on a cruise, Robbie Toots!
You said you would cover the tickets, so I brought Bobby along.
Hey!
Yes, Robbie Toots, I've heard. You were supposed to be accompanying me so I wouldn't look suspicious. And I only have two tickets. I held up the tickets and she promptly swiped them from my hand and gave them to the ticketmaster.
Come on, Robbie. I need to get a fruity drink in my hand fast.
I'll take the same, Robbie Toots!
Damn it. There goes my free ticket. I was about to argue that one or both of them should be seized when a beautiful young woman in a stunning red dress made her way up to the gangplank. She paused for a moment and gave an almost predatory smile as she passed. It dawned on me that nature had a way of warning you about danger. Her eyes were piercing and her teeth tiny, sharp, and perfectly straight.
Miss Pines, wonderful to see you again.
Wonderful to be aboard.
She made her way onto the ship, heels clicking and body swaying with the rocking of the ocean. Damn, if that was Clayton's wife, I was going to have a harder time than I thought keeping other men away from her. I was going to have a hard time keeping me away from her.
We'll return for the exciting conclusion of The Lonely Dame, but first, a word from our sponsor.
All right, we need to do this fast. The show is running long, so they cut down the commercial. Make it fast, make it funny, and make it work. Go!
So then I say to her, oh my god, are you actually going to wear that? You look like you just stepped out of, I don't know, like the late 1800s. And then she says to me, I grew up in the late 1800s. And I'm like, Grandma, not right now.
Yeah.
So then she's giving me all this attitude, and I just want her to shut up. I can't stand when there are people who you just can't get to stop talking. I just want to tie her mouth shut.
I know the feeling.
And so do I! Are you tired of hearing long, endless diatribes about things that don't concern you? Do you listen, and listen hoping for an end that never comes?
Wrap it up!
I am, you nitwit! Then check out the new all-in-improved snack gag!
Snack gag? What is it?
Snack Gag is a revolutionary new invention that prevents people from babbling on and on. Simply melt the Snack Gag cubes onto something that your victim is going to be eating, and presto! They'll be chewing and unable to speak for at least an hour. How does it work, you ask?
I never...
On a schedule here, kid! Testimonials!
I had students who wouldn't stop talking during tests, so I started making them Snack Gag brownies and bringing them in. The caramel kind are exceptionally fantastic, and it means I can finally have some peace and quiet.
I was afraid that my client was going to reveal to the court that he was incredibly, incredibly guilty. So I just gave him a sandwich with cheese-flavored Snack Gag before the proceeding started. He was found innocent, and I made a boatload of money.
Whenever I get caught by the police engaging in any number of illegal activities, I'm sure to bring a couple of Snack Gag mint cubes along. I offer one to the officers who are interrogating me, pop one myself, and 2 or 3 hours later they've forgotten all about their questions. It's absolutely fantastic. Also, there's this one guy, we call him Mitz, and he would not stop squealing. So we gave him 5 at once, and he suffocated. Thank you, so-
Someone get this guy a snack gag! Seriously, gag him. Call now and double your snack gag order by paying twice as much! Snack Gag comes in plenty of fun flavors, including cheese, chocolate, mint, caramel, mustard, ketchup, whiskey, jello, desperation, and purple. Call now, and we won't inform the police about your purchase. Call 1-800-GAG-FOOD. That's 1-800-GAG-FOOD.
Fantastic. I didn't think we'd ever get that done. Now we may have time to actually record the rest of the episode. Oh, you guys really are the best, and I really...
Snack Gag him!
We now return to the exciting conclusion of The Adventures of Harry Flynn.
I stood flabbergasted for a moment, and then stepped forward to pay for my own ticket. The view of Miss Pines had been enough for the cover charge. Any crimes I solve after would just be a bonus.
Do you have a reservation, Mr.,
Oaks.
Mr. Oaks.
No, I'm afraid not. I just decided to come by on a lark.
I'm afraid the price increases somewhat without a reservation.
He slipped me a piece of paper very discreetly. This is ridiculous! I'd say this is highway robbery, but I'm fairly certain that happens exclusively on solid ground.
May I suggest piracy, Mr. Oaks?
I'd have to be a pirate to have to pay for a ticket.
Indeed.
I paid off the ticketmaster and made my way aboard with unsteady legs. Even in my finest suit, I was still feeling rather underdressed given the degree of finery surrounding me. I settled down for a drink at the bar and waited for the voyage to start. Hey, barkeep.
What can I get for you?
Whiskey on the rocks.
Coming right up.
I was right about to settle into my seat when I heard a voice uncomfortably close to me.
Not often I see someone ordering a real drink on one of these cruises.
The smiling man seated next to me was young with a prominent chin. His skin was tanned, and judging by his clothing, he was working on the ship. Not often I find myself in a place I don't want a real drink. Harry Oaks, good to meet you.
Nick Turnbull. This your first time taking a cruise or just new to us?
Nah, I've taken plenty.
No, you haven't. I've run games on every ship comes out of this dock, and you're a copper if I've ever seen one.
The smile was suddenly gone from his voice, and his friendly eyes turned cold. I couldn't help but notice that his hand went toward his pocket as though reaching for a knife or a blackjack. I considered socking him in the kisser, but thought better of it. After all, I'd only seen Mrs. Pines from a distance at best. Me? Never. I'm in real estate, though I do see some similarities between the two.
Just keep your nose clean. I won't hesitate to throw you overboard in a bag.
Nick stormed off, leaving me confused on my stool. The hell was his problem?
Whiskey on the rocks. Don't mind him. He's always nervous that someone's going to turn the whole ship in. The game is Nick's life. It's just what he does.
Well, so long as he doesn't get any more crazy ideas, I'll just keep my distance. The voyage was underway soon, and before long I realized I wasn't made for this kind of high society gathering. Or, at the very least, I wasn't made for this kind of high society gathering while sober. Maybe if I could have been more free with the libations, I would have enjoyed it. The gambling started 2 hours out to sea under the main deck.
Snake eyes.
I searched the room until I came upon Clayton Pines seated playing poker. Taking a seat next to him, I casually played a couple of hands before beginning to speak quietly to him under my breath. The din of the room was loud enough to cover the conversation. I saw your wife earlier. No wonder you're afraid men will be going after her. She's a fine-looking dame if ever I've seen one.
Where'd you see her?
Coming onto the boat. The man there greeted her as Miss Pines. I haven't seen her since, though, strangely enough.
I was with her when she came on the boat, and she's sitting right next to me.
I craned my neck to study the woman on the other side of Clayton. She was also stunning, but in a more mature way. While the woman in red was a lively, dangerous beauty, Mrs. Pines was more calculating and handsome. That I had been so focused looking for flashes of red in the crowd was the only reason I hadn't noticed her previously. Now the only flash of red I was seeing was heat raising from Clayton's collar.
So you are telling me that you spent nearly 3 hours not only failing to do what I'm paying you to do, but also oogling my daughter in the process?
Perhaps a different Pines?
I cannot believe this.
Clayton, are you ever going to put down your cards, or do you intend to talk with your new friend until we all grow old as you are?
It's my turn. All right, then match.
I'm sorry to have disturbed the game.
Play.
Match. In any case, I'm sorry again, Miss Pines. Harry Oaks, recent business partner of your husband.
Donna Pines, I hope you do business better than you play cards.
I do everything in my life the same way, earnestly and honestly, whether it's business, card games, or personal relationships.
Charming, I'm sure. Clayton, I'm going to go lie down in our room. I trust you got us one this time.
If you leave the table, you will forfeit this hand.
I know that, you imbecile. Clayton, the key?
I'll go let you in, Donna. I'll be right back.
If you leave the table, you will also forfeit this hand.
That's fine. Deal me out for a round or two.
Then it is down to Mr. Oakes and Mr. Lee. Mr. Oakes, do you raise?
The two left moving briskly, not quite together, but in the same direction. They were speaking, though the words were lost in the crowd. Emotions were clearly running high, though, with waving hands and shouting mouths. Damn it, deal me out.
If you leave the table, you will also forfeit your...
Forfeit this hand, yes, I know. Looks like your lucky day, pal.
Woohoo! I've never won a hand before! So do I have to find a new table now?
As the dealer pushed Mr. Lee his winnings, I made my way out to circle around the ship and try to find the Pines' room. Maybe I would hear them arguing from outside. Damn it! I took off at a run toward the sound of the gunfire, but by the time I got to the room, it was too late. The door was ajar, giving a view of the grisly aftermath of the killings. Clayton and Donna were both sprawled on the bed, each shot, by the looks of it, from point-blank range.
Dear God.
Get on the radio with the Coast Guard.
What happened?
What does it look like? Two people have been murdered. Radio the Coast Guard and make sure that we haven't lost any of the lifeboats. 2 hours later, I was speaking with the Coast Guard as the first witness to the crime. The captain, who had stumbled onto the scene after me, was also there. Unfortunately, we didn't have a whole lot to offer.
Name of the deceased?
Clayton and Donna Pines.
The Pines had taken cruises with us many times before.
Did the Pines have any enemies?
No, of course not. They were just here to enjoy the cruise, like anyone else.
I didn't know either of them long enough to know. Mr. Pines was a client.
Do you have shuffleboard?
What?
Okay, why is Officer Famosa with you?
I moonlight as a member of the Coast Guard.
But working for the Coast Guard is a full-time job. So was working for the police.
Oh, it's no big deal.
When do you sleep?
Tuesdays.
Officer Spamosa is the best detective we've ever had. It's always a pleasure working with her and observing her keen observations.
Is that a fact?
We're going to keep your ship locked down. Nobody leaves or enters until this thing is solved.
I thought that might be the case. I'll notify the crew.
How does that notification work? Could you gather them all in one place?
We gather everyone below and keep them together unless they're speaking with law enforcement. We're very conscientious about the law here.
I'll bet. Officer Seymour, Delano... Spamosa. Permission to assist with grouping the passengers? Between the four of us, we managed to corral the crew and passengers in the hold with only minor incidents. I was going back to investigate the scene of the crime when I came upon the woman in the red dress. She was arguing with an officer standing guard, tears rolling down her face and smearing her makeup.
I'm sorry, miss. This is an active crime scene.
You have to let me see them. My father is in there.
Until we get some things sorted out, nobody can come inside this room.
The controlling, predatory look was gone, and she looked like what she really was. A confused, screwed-up kid who had just lost someone dear to her. I walked up and placed a hand on her shoulder. Jamie Pines?
Yes, that's me.
I'm sorry, but I need to take you down to the hold with the other passengers. It's for your safety. She hesitated, then nodded. The sobbing had stopped, but she still hadn't retained that predatory edge. We'll find who did this. Your parents' murderer will not go free.
They weren't... She wasn't my mother.
Oh?
She was just my father's wife. There's a difference.
Yeah, there is. Was there bad blood between you?
Are you asking if I killed her?
No. I'm just trying to learn more about her so I can try to find the motive of the killer. Truth be told, she wasn't bad for it. If she hated Don and resented her father for it, well, crazier things have happened. Especially when there's an inheritance in the mix. Her face was painted with fear, grief, and shame.
You're a private eye?
Yeah, I am.
Why were you on the ship?
Well, I was investigating a man's wife for him. He thought she might... Damn it! I looked at Jamie, motioned for her to stay still, and ran in the direction of the shot. When I got to where I had thought it was from, there was nothing there but a bit of splattered blood on the floor. No signs of a body being dragged, so that left one possibility.
Another one?
I'm afraid so. I only heard it, but it sounded like someone was shot and pushed in.
I don't see anyone down there.
Look, Flynn, this doesn't look good for you!
What?
Seymour's right. You've been standing at the scene of the crime twice. Kinda lucky that it was you who got here first both times.
Look, let's just go see what we can find out from the other passengers.
What if he wasn't shot or pushed? What if he just felt like taking a swim?
Not now, Spamosa.
The water does look kind of cold.
We headed downstairs as Spamosa regaled us with stories of her youth growing up in Cape Cod. Stories were eerily similar to other ones she told me about growing up in Florida, California, and Madagascar. I stopped her for a moment, we exchanged quick words, and then continued to the hold. When we got there, we heard some troubling news.
We're only missing one person. Nick Turnbull, one of my dealers.
Damn it, that means we've got a stowaway.
I want the ship torn apart, every compartment searched thoroughly.
I want one of those fruity drinks with an umbrella in it.
As the other officers went about their duties, I approached Jamie again. Having heard the news about Nick, she looked even more surprised. So, who was Nick to you?
He and I were dating.
Sour kind of guy. Had some attitude problems.
Yes, but he was going to take care of me. You have to figure out who did this.
Her eyes were desperate now, her body trembling with incredible fear. When your father and Donna were found dead, you were upset. But now that Nick is missing, you're terrified. Why?
I'm not.
You're trembling. And I think I know why. When your parents died, it surprised and upset you. But you knew that there was a chance of it. After all, you and Nick had things planned for them. Donna was a cold woman who didn't seem quick to affection. That's why you hated her, of course. But it's also why it seems strange that your father would suspect her of infidelity. Unless...
I don't know what you're talking about. You're just rambling like a crazy person.
It's all part of the method. Here's how it happened. Your father marries this cold woman, and you find yourself suddenly wondering, what happens with my inheritance? So you need to remove her from the picture. You have an idea. Your boyfriend seduces her. Your father leaves her, and the inheritance is yours. But that's not quick enough for Nick. He decides to try to get Donna to give him access to the bank account so he can take the money right away. He goes into the room expecting to meet her, but your father is in there too. Temper flare, and he shoots them both dead.
No, Nick would never do that.
But that's all you deny?
All right, we were going to rob them, but not all of it. Just enough for us to start a life together. I never thought that he would...
And now you think he's dead. Luckily for you, but unfortunately for the rest of the city, he's still alive and well.
What do you mean?
Come with me. We walked to where the third shot had been fired. Spinoza was standing with two other Coast Guard members who were looking down a ladder. A wet and very angry-looking Nick Turnbull was climbing over the edge.
Nick!
Jimmy, this isn't what it looks like.
Actually, this is exactly what it looks like. He decided to go swimming, and he didn't even invite you.
But wait, how did you know?
When Spinoza said earlier that he had maybe gone for a swim, it got me thinking. Right before we left, I checked the railing and found a footprint on the metal. Someone being tossed over the edge would leave a mark, but not with their shoes. So the shot was fired, and then someone jumped overboard.
And the blood was just left over from the other scene?
Exactly.
They deserve to die. These rich fat cats think they could just run everything. If I were caught gambling, there'd be trouble, but the almighty pines?
But... Nick, I thought we were going to go off together.
You were only ever part of the plan. Sure, it was fun getting a little extra...
Spinoza!
How dare you not invite us to go swimming with you!
The rest of it was just cleanup. Nick was sent to prison for 2 counts of murder, but Jamie ended up getting off for cooperating. Sure, she had planned to embezzle money, but the kid had been through a lot. I think the judge mostly just felt sorry for her. As I left the courtroom, our eyes met. The predator was long gone. Tears going down her cheeks and eyes bloodshot from crying. That's the trouble with this line of work. You surround yourself with women, but at the end of the day, half of them are victims, and there's not a damn thing you can do about it.
This has been The Adventures of Harry Flynn, presented by WRKC. This week's episode, The Lonely Dame, was written by Brandon Leon Gambetta. Our cast today was Brandy George as Deborah, Girl, and Officer Spinoza. Kara Medwick as Veronica, Lawyer, and Donna Pines. DJ Nat as Harry Flynn and Guy. Drake Nestor as Robbie Toots, Commercial Announcer Nick Turnbull, Mr. Lee, and Officer Seymour. Jennifer Momenzada as Jamie Pines, Teacher and Barkeep. Lucas Tomasacci as Announcer, Clayton Pines, Director and Captain. And Nick Clem as Random Guy, Ticketmaster, Thug, Dealer, and Officer Delano. Theme for The Adventures of Harry Flynn, composed by Michael Wall and David Tomasacci, is performed by Michael Wall on piano, drums and trumpet, Terrence Karn on accordion, Luis Obregon on viola, with sound engineering by Michael Wall. Can't get enough Harry Flynn? Log on to www.harryflynn.wikia.com or find us on Facebook for all of your Harry Flynn-related needs, including MP3s of previous episodes.